It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 18th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Let me throw a piece of Apple data at you. The company expects to sell 60 to 70 million new iPhone 6s. And considering Apple broke records with pre-orders, getting 4 million in just the first 24 hours of the new phone's announcement, that might not be far off. But you know what everyone was talking about last time the company announced a phone? The software. Both the good and the bad, by the way. And this week, the company has released iOS 8. Our friend and technology columnist Molly Wood joins us to talk about it. Molly, how are you?
I'm great, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. How is the Apple iPhone 6 software? You like it?
You know, I like it, and I think that I'm going to like it even more in the future. I actually feel like this is an operating system that is laying the groundwork for a lot of things. And if they all come together, then I think we're going to be looking at some things that Apple's been trying to pull off for a lot of years, the actual digital hub.
Give me a specific example.
I should clarify, I don't see these things yet, but I think that Apple's working on the possibility that iOS 8 will become the center for controlling the devices in your home, whether it's your speaker system or your thermostat or your door locks. Basically, this sort of idea that it can communicate with all these other different devices in a way that I think a lot of companies have tried to do,
But
Apple is the company that we generally tend to trust when it comes to execution.
The iPhone 6 Plus specifically, is there anything that you're not happy about?
Now, I love a big phone, but that phone is too big. It's sort of like the feedback that Apple took in was that people want a bigger iPhone. And so they quite literally gave people a bigger iPhone. It is as though they took a cartoon giant ray and just increased it by three sizes. Wah, wah, wah. And they didn't really necessarily take a cue from other big phones on the market in taking advantage of all of that screen size. It's a honker.
Fair enough. On that note, U.S. consumers, think about it. If you want a honker, then it's ready for you. And if you don't, watch out. Our friend and technology columnist at the New York Times, Molly Wood, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Remember that Super Bowl Chrysler commercial about the city of Detroit? You probably do. The one with the gritty voiceover guy saying stuff like,
"What does a town that's been to hell and back know about the finer things in life?"
Well, the other day I got the chance to sit down with a man who maybe has some answers to that question. Chairman of Rock Ventures Dan Gilbert has a net worth of about $4 billion. He's a majority owner in the Cleveland Cavaliers and the guy who started Quicken Loans. But he's also a Detroit native who wants to be part of the city's economic rebirth, one that has a lot of business interests in the city and who is spending some of his time boosting Detroit. Last week, Gilbert was talking up his city at TechCrunch's Disrupt event in San Francisco. I pulled him aside to talk Detroit startup and innovation.
Dan Gilbert, thank you very much for talking with me.
Great, my pleasure being here.
How can Detroit compete?
It's actually competing right now, and it's shocking to people when they get downtown in the urban core and see what's going on.
What do you see?
Well, what you'll see is a thriving, hustling, bustling urban core with a lot of young people and over 100 plus startup businesses and venture capital. So, you know, certainly there, I don't mean to minimize the still major serious challenges Detroit has, and they have them, but there's something out there that this generation's interested in getting to downtown Detroit.
What is still missing?
I think there's probably two things. Number one, we want a big hit, you know, a major success that's a brand name and everyone knows it was seeded, started, funded, and grew in downtown Detroit. That sort of changes the view of everything. The second thing would get another high employee headcount company to move down. I mean, if we get a couple more of those, we'll be at the next phase.
What's a company in Detroit that you're excited about?
We formed a blight task force about a year ago. There's a company that created this incredible technology that allowed us to go out, take visual inspection with an iPhone of every single parcel in the entire city, and then integrate it with 24 other databases. This is an example of where one of the problems of the entire city of Detroit has turned into a real thriving company in the city. And the name of that company is Loveland Technologies.
So you have five kids. How, as a parent, have you managed technology use within your family?
It's a challenge. Two of my kids, one's 14-year-old boy and there's another 16-year-old boy, and they had, for the NFL opening Sunday, about eight friends over each.
And any of them looking at the TV screen?
They're looking at both. mostly watching the red zone because they're all obviously fantasy players. And they couldn't even tell us the scores of who won the game because all they are is focusing on their fantasy. It's them now, not the teams. Technology in this younger generation is just completely different experience of how you just experience normal, everyday things like watching a football game.
What do you see that excites you about the collaboration between these older auto companies and startups? Do you get a sense of how it's changing the way companies make cars?
Obviously, the car companies were negligent on this front for decades. However, I do think that two, if not three of them now, have absolutely turned the corner. They don't look at cars anymore. They look at technology on wheels. I mean, that's really how you have to look at it. They have tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people driving in their vehicles they make. And if you take the next step, and they also know where they're at with the GPS at all times, I think the potential is massive for these car companies to really turn themselves into truly technology companies that happen to make cars.
Dan Gilbert, thank you very much.
Thank you. Pleasure.
You can hear many more of my San Francisco conversations if you download the Marketplace app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Check it out. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.